Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody from Vienna. As usual, this is Thomas Birtel calling in order to make you familiar with our figures for the first half of the current fiscal year 2018. In general, we can state that we had quite a strong second quarter, which leads us to an output volume of a little bit more than 6.8 billion euros in the first half of the year. This is an upwards growth of 10%, which was driven especially by the German building construction and civil engineering business, as well as by the markets in Austria and Poland. Our consolidated group revenue grew by 12%. After having topped the 17 billion euros mark for the first time in company history as per 31st March 2018, our order backlog reached another record high of almost 19 billion euros on the 30th of June 2018. This corresponds to a plus of 15% year-on-year. Contributing to this development once again were numerous large orders in our largest markets, above all in Hungary, Germany, and Poland. A significant development in the second quarter of the year was the contract extension for the Alto Maipo hydropower plant project in Chile with a value in a triple-digit million EUR range. Let's now come to slide number four of the presentation, which I trust is, as usual, in front of you. This is regarding our result figures. The second quarter revealed growth in both EBITDA by +24% and EBIT by +44%. This leads to an EBITDA figure for the first half of 200 million, which is a 33% increase over the first half of 2017, and of +20 million in EBIT, which means that we came into positive territory in the first half, although in usual times, we are still in the negative territory, as we were also in 2017, where we had a remaining winter loss of 33 million by the end of June 2017. We now have a look on the net income shown on page number five. Our net interest income amounted to -7.5 million euros in the first six months of the previous year. This figure had still amounted to -29 million euros as a result of negative internal exchange rate differences. The earnings before taxes also avoided a seasonally usual loss this year, reaching a plus of 12.6 million euros compared to -61 million in the first half of last year. As a consequence, the income tax moved into negative territory at -9.7 million euros. This left a net income for the group of 2.9 million euros this year. Earnings attributable to third-party shareholders amounted to 3.4 million. Last year, they still had to bear a loss of -1.1 million. Overall, the net income after minorities amounted to -0.6 million compared to -52.8 million in the same period of the year before. With 102,600,000 outstanding shares, this corresponds to earnings per share of -0.01, whilst in the previous year it was -0.51. Let's come to page number six, giving a picture of the group's balance sheet. The balance sheet total fell slightly back below 11 billion from 31st December 2017 to 10.8 billion euros by the end of the first half 2018. This figure was positively influenced by the higher trade receivables, which increased especially as a result of the reclassification of real estate project developments as required by the first-time adoption of IFRS 15. The cash and cash equivalents decreased, as is seasonal usually with our group. The non-current financial liabilities decreased due to the planned repayment of a bond within 1 year's time. Despite the local winter losses, our equity ratio remained high at 30%. This figure had stood at about 31% at the end of 2017, but it was also 30% as by the middle of last year. The net cash position decreased, as again is seasonal, usual with us, from 1.3 billion at 31st December 2017 to 711.7 million by the middle of this year. In the year before, at the same time, it was 95.2 million euros only. On page number seven, we give you a glance on the various cash flow figures of the group. Our cash flow from operating activities grew by 27% and amounted to -147.3 million euros in view of the higher cash flow from earnings and a working capital increase comparable to that of the previous year. Our cash flow from investing activities stood at -277 million euros, which is 91% more negative on the year, due in part to a higher level of investments in property, plant, and equipment. The repayment of a bond, the acquisition of the minority shares of the now delisted German subsidiary STRABAG AG in Cologne, and the dividend payment that hadn't been carried out until the third quarter last year influenced our cash flow from financing activities, which this year reached a value of -362.9 million after -18.8 million in the first half of the last year. We now come to our three operational segments. As usually, on page eight, I start with the segment North and West, which comprises our building construction operation and our transport infrastructures operation in our core market of Germany and the Benelux states, in the Nordic countries, and in Poland. In this segment, the output volume increased by 17% year-on-year in the first half of 2018. This can be largely attributed to the high order backlog in Germany at the end of last year and the relatively good weather in that country at the beginning of this year. The winter months saw very little slowdown, especially in building construction in Germany. The relatively low growth of the output volume in Poland in comparison to Germany was evened out by the decrease in Denmark. The EBIT of the segment North and West improved by 64% and amounted to -22.6 million in the first half of this year. The second quarter, in particular, reflected the good economic activity in the German transportation infrastructure segment. The order backlog of North and West showed a plus of 14% over the level of 30th June 2017, which corresponds to over 1 billion increase in absolute figures. Contributing to the strong growth were increases again in Germany, Poland, and to a slightly lesser degree in the Benelux countries. New orders acquired in the first half included the project Skyo, the first timber high-rise building in Germany in the city of Heilbronn. In Poland, we were awarded the contracts for two further sections of the S7 expressway north of Warsaw, and at the end of 2017 for the first Mercedes-Benz engine plant in the country. New orders also came from Northern Europe and Scandinavia, for example, two buildings in Copenhagen's Carlsberg Quarter in Denmark, the FSE 309 Löwe Interchange in Stockholm in Sweden, and the business and residential building ODE in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Regarding the outlook for the full year, the segment North and West is expected to surpass last year's record output volume in 2018. The German building construction civil engineering business should continue to contribute positively to both output volume and earnings. The ongoing tense situation on the subcontract and supplier market is inter alia being countered by binding these parties at an early stage before the contract with the clients is finally concluded. A word to our transportation infrastructures business in Germany. This registered an excellent first half of 2018. The economic environment there is characterized by sustained low interest rates, high tax revenues, and the years-long investment backlog in public infrastructure. We expect that the high output volume posted last year can be maintained, especially as a large portion of the planned output has already been acquired and the order backlog is at a historic high. Labor and limited subcontractor capacities, however, remain restrictive factors for an expansion of the business. In contrast to that, the situation on the market in Poland is becoming a little bleaker. The industry is experiencing a shortage of qualified staff, of construction materials, and of capacities in general to attend the enormous demand there. This has led to price increases last year in the double-digit percent range for labor costs, construction materials, and subcontractor fees. At the same time, tenders are being withdrawn more frequently before award due to budget overruns. The order backlog in Poland is at a very high level and so has already secured the output volume for the ongoing financial year, which enables a greater selection of the projects for which bids are to be made. The output volume for STRABAG in Poland is expected to exhibit strong growth so that earnings should continue to be generated and at an attractive level. Let's now come to slide number 9 and our second operational segment, which is called South and East and comprising again our construction operations in the core market of Austria, in Switzerland, and in Central and Eastern Europe, including Russia. The output volume of the segment grew to 1.9 billion in the first 6 months of 2018, which means a year-on-year plus of 6%. Growth was registered above all in the home market of Austria, as well as in Croatia and, before all, in Hungary. In contrast to the first half of the previous year, the EBIT, now at minus 4.1 million, has not yet entered the profit zone. Competition, above all, for human resources and subcontractor services intensified in the markets of Central and Eastern Europe as well, so that the margins, starting from an unusually strong level last year, approach the group average now. The order backlog of South and East registered a significant upwards jump of 19% plus over the level of 30th of June 2017 and grew to 4.9 billion euros. This development is attributable above all to transportation infrastructure projects in Hungary. The trend in the other markets of the segment was more inconsistent. Regarding the outlook for the full year, the output volume of South and East is expected to continue to grow with attractive margins in the 2018 financial year. The combination of high demand and lack of skilled labor, however, has led to increasing costs in most of the markets. The situation on our home market of Austria remains positive. New large building construction projects in the cities, above all Vienna, are continually restocking the order backlog as similar projects reach completion. In the Czech Republic and Slovakia, the margins have, however, been falling for several years. The construction climate is getting tenser, as has been expected. In Slovakia, tenders are mostly for transportation projects with EU co-financing, including several railway projects. In the Czech Republic, on the other hand, the focus is on building construction for the automobile industry as well as commercial centers and office buildings for industrial clients. In Hungary, the greatest challenge in the coming months and years will be to work off the high order backlog. The entire Hungarian construction industry is currently in an unusually active phase. In Russia, the state budget situation is easing in response to the increased price of the oil and the exchange rate towards the US dollar. The policy focus is on reducing the negative impact from the sanctions of the EU and, above all, the United States. The construction industry has probably passed through the lowest point. Given the fact that the market volume remains high, STRABAG continues to bid mainly for large residential projects in Moscow and increasingly also in St. Petersburg. In the field of industrial construction, meanwhile, the number of investment projects is again slightly on the rise. We now come to slide number 10 our third and last segment, which is called International and Special Divisions, comprising our non-European construction business, our tunneling business, real estate development, concession business, and raw materials and facility management operations. This segment closed the first half of 2018 with a year-on-year plus of 4% in output volume, attributable especially to the work on large projects in the Americas. The EBIT of International and Special Divisions has already now entered positive territory with a plus of 51.9 million euros compared to minus 6.5 million for the first 6 months last year. Here, the sales of real estate project developments had a positive impact, as did, among other things, the fact that earnings were no longer burdened by large international construction projects as they had been the year before. The order backlog increased by 12%. This development is due in part to the extension of the contract for the Alto Maipo project in Chile, as I already mentioned. But new large contracts also in Asia, among other places, as well as the commitment to build an approximately 30-kilometer tunnel section for the underground conveyor system at the Woodsmith mine in the United Kingdom, also added considerably to the volume of orders on the books of the segment. Regarding the outlook for the full year of International and Special Divisions, it should be possible there in 2018 to achieve an output volume at a comparable level to that of 2017 and to generate stable earnings now that the Alto Maipo project in Chile no longer has a negative effect. Our real estate development business should continue to make very positive earnings contributions as the ongoing low interest rates and the continuously high demand for commercial and residential real estate are responsible for a generally good framework for this business field. Although the market for concession projects remains a difficult one, the income from existing PPPs, which means public-private partnerships, should also help the infrastructure development business to another significant earnings contribution. With the exception of a few lighthouse projects in Germany, Poland, and the Czech Republic, however, no PPP tenders are expected in the field of road construction in the group's core countries in Europe at this time. For this reason, we are also focusing on selected markets as those in Latin America and certain parts of in Southeast Africa. The international business, which means the construction business outside of Europe, has for several years been focused on East of Africa, where larger investments in the fields of infrastructure, energy and water are expected. In the Middle East, traditionally an important market for our group, the relatively low price of oil had brought the construction market to a standstill. Although now the forecasts predict a further recovery of the oil price, the general environment is unlikely to improve in the short term, as local construction companies often place their bids now below cost recovery. Because the competition in the aforementioned regions remain intense, we are only pursuing projects here in which we can contribute our know-how and our technical expertise in a way to generate extra value. This includes specialties such as test track constructions for the automotive industry. The focus in new markets is on projects in the infrastructure sector that are financed by international organizations and have a clear contract structure. In our tunneling business, on the other hand, new markets are not a focus at this time. Besides our core European markets, we are also especially active in tunneling in Canada, Chile, and Singapore, at technically very challenging projects. While the harsh competition on the home markets of Germany and Austria is unlikely to improve, even in the medium term, opportunities are expected especially in the United Kingdom, Canada, and in the mining sector in Chile. In light of the now continued stable order situation at Deutsche Telekom and the volume of new orders, the earnings development of our property and facility services is expected to remain at an attractive level in the current year. Strabag PFS further diversified successfully its client portfolios in the first 6 months of the ongoing year and has more than doubled the volume of new orders year-on-year. The new acquisitions include companies like Deutsche Bahn, Esprit, Immofinanz, Nordex, and also part of the UniCredit Group in Germany. A word on our outlook for the full year, given on slide number 11 of the presentation. With an order backlog of almost 19 billion euros, we could report another record high level halfway through 2018 after already posting a historic high of 16.6 billion at the end of the 2017 financial year and cracking the 17 billion mark in the first quarter of 2018. Our focus remains on carefully and reliably working off our dynamically growing volume orders. One challenge we face along the way is binding employees and subcontractors. Here we benefit now from our long-established training and development programs, the various opportunities that we can offer as a group, and the many years of working in a partnership with subcontractors and suppliers. The high order backlog is already reflected in the cut output volume. After the first 6 months, this figure was 10% higher than at the same time last year. We are therefore adjusting our outlook for the full year and now expect to generate an output volume of at least 15 billion euros. Previously, we announced a figure of around 15 billion. The forecast for the EBIT, however, margin remains unchanged at least 3%. That was a short look on the result figures for the first half of 2018. And now I'm looking very much forward on your eventual questions. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And the first question is from the line of Sarvana Bala with Berenberg. Please go ahead. Sarvana? We are not able to hear you. Can you please check your microphone?
Hello?
Now we can hear. Thank you.
Yes. Good morning. My first question is on the PFS business. Can you give us an update on your confidence in replacing the lost earnings in 2019 and 2020 from the Deutsche Telekom contract? I do see you have several new clients and orders, so any update on the earnings outlook would be helpful. My second is on whether the improved pricing is still offsetting rising costs in the north and west segment. Namely, is one increasing faster than the other? How does this impact your expectations for margin improvements at the project level? And finally, just on the CapEx, I could see some of it is being used to expand your large materials network. I was wondering if you can provide more information on your plans and your strategy here. For example, to what extent you plan to grow and the timing of expected benefits. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bala. Well, with regard to PFS, it is true that we see, as I pointed out before, rather considerable success stories with regard to the fact that we strive to now diversify our customer portfolio in light of the fact that we will be losing Deutsche Telekom as per the middle of next year. However, I do not realistically expect that by the middle of next year we will already be in a position to have reached an extra portfolio which would fully compensate for the Deutsche Telekom account. However, I think we are on a good way to reach that compensation in the next, let's say, 2 years or something like that. I would moreover like to point out that with regard to the figures for the full year, I do not expect that the loss of Deutsche Telekom as a PFS customer by the middle of next year will be translated into a dampening of our overall group figures, which means that the temporary downturn in output figures of our facility management business will be more than compensated by an upturn of our operations in other business, construction or real estate development business. So I'm very confident that we won't see any net negative effect out of the loss of PS of the Deutsche Telekom account on the PFS side. With regard to the price-cost inflation relationship, especially in the Northwestern segment, I believe that till today we quite cunningly achieved the situation that we stabilize our margins, notwithstanding the strong cost inflation, which we see, for instance, in a market as Germany. So it is true that we have to struggle hard in order to get better prices, which make good the inflation, which we see, for instance, on the wage side, in light of the fact that in Germany we had a trade unions contract with a plus of 4.6% on the wages and salaries for people working in the construction industry for the next 26 months. This, of course, is a high cost impact for us. But till today, I believe that our margins will remain stable in that segment, or I could even say will remain positively stable in this segment, which all in all leads us to the conclusion that on group level, we stick to our overall guidance of at least 3% EBIT on sales margin for the whole group. With regard to CAPEX, it is true that we will be seeing an increased CAPEX by about 450 million euros for PPE investment. I would like to point out, however, that this is the CAPEX which we need to further cope with our increased volume of orders, which entails, for instance, in the tunneling side, major single investments. If you are expected to build a TBM machine, a tunneling boring machine, for a single tunneling project, that might easily lead to a single investment of 40 to 70 million euros for just one single machine. But this figure I mentioned before, the approximately 450 million, are except of additional eventual means for instance, acquisitions of companies, which we pursue, as you know, on an opportunistic level. I do not, however, expect a big bang on that side, but it is not excluded that these days some additional CAPEX might occur for company takeovers in the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bala.
And the next question is from the line of Markus Remes with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Bittel. A question regarding the outlook you gave for international and special divisions, specifically the earnings guidance table is what you say. I actually struggled to reconcile that figure because it implies just 10 million EBIT in the second half. And as far as my model goes back, you've never been at such a low level. In fact, in most years, the second half is stronger than the first half. And I was just wondering if you expect any one-offs, something which at least I am not aware of that depresses the second half so considerably.
No, not really. Thank you, Mr. Remy, for the question. We should probably not forget that thanks or due to the first-time application of IRS 15, especially the international and special divisions segment had been a little bit hit by the fact that, and this is given on page 24 of our half-year's report, that we had to realize profits from real estate development business, which has already seen forward deals, although not being completed as a construction project, but has already been sold out to investors. And this is an amount of 29 million, which will never go into our profit and loss account, which it would have done unless we would have not had IFRS number 15. So these 29 million are definitely lacking, and this is exclusively reflected in the segment of international special divisions. With regard to the previous year, we must not forget that we had admittedly some considerably burdens out of the Altamira project last year, but we had also some extraordinary positive effects, as you might recall, the increase of the evaluation of an A2 credit of 50 million, and we had won a very big arbitration case in the Emirates. So we do not, of course, expect those events to occur another time this year. But all in all, it is a very heterogeneous segment, a very strong development on the real estate development side. On the other hand, a rather fierce competition on the tunneling side. International Special has always been a volatile segment, but this year I do not see any single major event which we should separately report as we did it the last year.
Okay, understood. If I then may ask also on South and East, when you say attractive margins, I mean, we've seen first half profitability down. Apparently, last 2 years were rather strong, but maybe you could help us understand the dynamics here, kind of the reasons why profitability in Southeast is down. Were there some hiccups at any projects, or is that kind of a different product mix, or what are the reasons behind?
Yeah, you point out very correctly, Mr. Remis, that I also had always underpinned during the second, the two last years, that especially the two last 3 years were extremely strong in South and East, with an EBIT margin on sales of far more than 4%, even getting close to 5%, and that we would not be become nervous once this segment would come closer to the group average of more than 3%. And this is what we are seeing now, especially with regard to the Czech Republic and Slovakia. We are seeing a normalizing situation, which is partly due to the fact that other than in Germany, we do not fully succeed in getting as much price increases as we need for increased cost compensation. So in those markets, to a certain extent, prices are increasing faster than our price. The costs are increasing faster than our prices, and hence we see a certain normalization of the margin. With regard to the first half, the comparison with the previous six months of 2017. Might be a little bit misleading because we had some positive, rather unusual positive effects in the first half of last year, which did not occur again this year. So this year is really a normal one, but for the full year, I'm not nervous by no means that we will again achieve decent margins, which might be slightly below the last year's margins, but definitely still higher than the group average.
Sure. And then coming back to the topic of cost inflation, would you say that cost inflation in Poland is even stronger than in Germany?
And this yes.
is more, yeah, and this
yes.
is more difficult to put it through to the customers than in Germany.
Yeah, for the time being, I would admit that this is the case. That's true. That Germany, of course, is a strong market, especially to transportation infrastructures, because they're struggling to make good the lacking investments of the past, but Poland really is a growth market. They are not investing into making good defects in old infrastructure, they're really enlarging their infrastructure, and due to the high demand there on the subcontractor side, we see a far stronger cost inflation than we see in Germany.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Remis.
Next question is from the line of Norbert Kretlow with Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I had a question on the labor cost shortage, in particular in Germany. We are hearing about this issue for, say, a couple of years already, and I wonder if there is any sort of tipping point coming up where this issue might really start curbing growth, or are you still successful in attracting new employees and in attracting sufficient subcontractor capacities?
Well, thank you, Mr. Kretlow, for the question. It is true that especially the human resources factor today is a sort of limiting factor for the increase of further growth of our transportation infrastructures business. And this is especially a problem for transportation infrastructures, as you know that our own value creation in that field of activity is stronger than in the building construction sector, where we have far more subcontractors. So we are still managing in getting additional people, but we could easily make use of more people than we currently can get. And the consequence which we draw out of this development is a tighter project selection. Given the fact that we do not really have enough capacity to take every project which we could get in the market, we make the best out of the situation and seek for a better price quality and a better risk profile of our projects. And I think this as well helps us, especially in Germany, to keep the margins, till today, to keep the margins positively stable.
Good to know. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kretlow.
And the next question is from the line of Daniel Leon with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I would like to follow up a little bit on the international and special divisions, and just go ask if you see any really negative impacts again, because when I just think of let's say the your materials business, which should be nicely profitable in the current environment already, I still see this 10 million increase in the second half year as very, very conservative. So is there anything that you really see that would have a negative impact on profitability?
No, not really. Although we have always to underpin, and this goes for the whole group, that the decisive time period for a full year in our business is the fourth quarter of every year. And hence, it is true, as you know, that we tend to be a little bit more on the conservative side, because we do not yet know what will be happening on in the fourth quarter, and especially how the weather situation will be developing there. So we do not see any major single event which makes us negative, especially for that segment. But we know that that the situation is very, very volatile, and especially in the tunneling business, it might well be the case that we see reasons for additional claims against certain customers. And as you know, we take the cost into account, but not eventual earnings from additional claims which have not yet been awarded. And given the size of and the importance of such projects in the tunnel business for the segment, all in all, we tend to be a little bit cautious on that side, and that is the explanation for the, let's say, a little bit dull outlook for the segment. But there is no any one single project which I would have to name today, as in contrast as to the last year, where we had to talk more often about the Alto Maipo project in Chile.
Okay, and Then I would like to turn to the Northwest segment. Profitability has also improved sizably, 1.6 percentage points better at half year. Did you have any positive revaluation effects here from IFRS 15 as well, which would be material? Not to expect that this profitability improvement should also continue in the second half year?
Well, that again has to do with what I mentioned before towards Mr. Kretlow, especially in that segment and especially in the very important German transportation infrastructures business. We now have the chance to really increase the price and the risk quality of our portfolio because we are forced to make selections. And this makes us very confident that the especially stable and good development in the German transportation infrastructures, which really coins the development of the whole segment nowadays, is continuing also in the second half. On top of that comes the fact that in this segment, in contrast to the international and special division segment, we will not be seeing any negative effect out of the first-time application of IFRS 15, as I pointed out before with regard to the situation in international and special divisions. In North and West, we do not have any activities which are really affected by the first-time application of IFRS 15, which, of course, helps also to make a positive prediction for the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you. And then as the last one, you mentioned that CapEx would not include any potential M&A activity in the second half year. What would be the segment or region where you are looking for acquisition targets, and are you looking for something more sizable?
It's not big banks we are looking at, as I pointed out before, but if we expect something of the kind, it could be on the concession side and it could be in North and West.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leon. See you.
Yeah.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Next question is from the line of Stefan Trubrich with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Diana. Good morning, Dr. Biertel. Two questions from my side, if I may. First question, I would be interested in your expected H2 cash flow development, particularly as last year you had a very strong positive working capital in the second half of the year, with net cash being now around 700 million after 6 months. Could you maybe give us an indication where we end up in terms of net debt compared to last year when we had 1.3 billion euros at year end? That would be my first question. And then the second question would be related to the catastrophe in Genoa where the bridge collapsed. What's your view on general on the condition in Europe? What potential do you see there, particularly for Strabag? And have you kind of stepped up your business development activities into this area to develop and modernize and upgrade existing bridges across Europe? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trotzig. Well, with regard to the first question, we had pointed out when commenting on the situation on the 31st of December 2017 that we considered that to be an extraordinary situation, which would not repeat the same way by the end of next year, which is now the end of this year. Today, I would expect that the situation might not going down as strongly as we expected before, so the situation might be not that much different from the situation by the end of last year. We should not forget, however, that we will be seeing some outgoing cash flows in the second half, which we have not seen in the first half. We have paid this year, our dividend in the first half still by the end of the second quarter, whilst we paid out the dividend in the first part of the third quarter last year. However, we still had to pay the withholding tax on dividends, the Austrian withholding tax on dividends, in the third quarter, which has not yet been reflected in the figures of the first half. So this is a certain burden on cash flow. And as I pointed out before, apart from our current investment, our enlarged investment in PPE, which are of course also affecting the cash flows, there might be some mid-sized acquisitions on the concession side and in the North and West segment, which would also then most probably affect the cash flow from investing activities in the second half. So I would believe it will be lower than by the end of last year, but probably not as low as we expected initially.
To follow up on when you said that the CapEx is around 400 million, how much?
450.
How much incremental CapEx have you earmarked for acquisitions, what you just mentioned roughly?
It might be a high double-digit amount or a very low triple-digit amount.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Well, with regard to the Genova catastrophe, it's a difficult question for us because, of course, the monitoring of the technical status of such buildings is not our obligation, as long as we are not a partner in a PPP project. Under a PPP regime, it might well be the obligation of the contractor to monitor the situation of the project and not only to effect the maintaining but also the repair works of such an operation. But as you know, our PPP portfolio is quite small, and especially with regard to bridges, we do not have too many bridges where we are responsible for maintaining and operating the bridges. So, of course, the Geneva catastrophe came to a price also as a surprise also to us. What we know is the procedures which are in place in our various markets, for instance, in Germany, in Austria, or in Switzerland. We have a very detailed monitoring process which is being regulated by the various states. We have even maps, for instance, in Germany, giving a clear picture of the current status of the approximately 50,000 bridges which are under monitoring on the federal level, and we know a school classification system from 1 to 6, and we know exactly which classification is being attributed to which bridge. This situation that it is basically a public responsibility to monitor the status of such projects, for us is the explanation that an event like in Geneva is a very single event, and it's a, thanks God, it's a huge exception to the rule. However, we know that also in Germany, for instance, again, there are many, many bridges which are not in a good situation and where the state will have to make investments in the forthcoming future, and that's what we are expecting. But also Germany is good for examples for the fact that the system is working well. One very prominent example is the A1 bridge over the River Rhine near the West German city of Leverkusen, where we have strong restrictions on traffic right now because the authorities are aware of the fact that the bridge is in a critical situation. They are now investing in building a new bridge, and they are very strongly limiting the traffic on the old bridge. And this is a confirmation, as I pointed out before, to the fact that in general the system, the monitoring system, is working out. With regard to the concrete case of the Geneva project, I'm simply not in a position to cast a judgment upon that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Trutzek.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. So there are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Schüttel for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for your interest in our first half year's figures, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again once we are presenting the figures for the third quarter of 2018. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.